learn how to build your faith on God's Word, and live a life of 100% victory 100% of the time. As you listen to the Senior Pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okunkwo, and expect God's Word to work for you.
Life that God has not addressed. There's nothing you are facing in this life that God has not addressed, including anxiety and worry. And we are at a time when most people, can you stop moving? We are at a time when most people, you know, are anxious and worried about so many things. About so many things. For us as believers, what is God's instruction to us about worry and anxiety? What is God's instruction for us? Because some people are worried about their finances. How is my, you know, I don't have enough money to pay my bills. I have more bills than I have money. I have more bills than I have money. I have more, you know, more things that cause stress. I have my marital status to worry about. Either you're already married and the marriage is stressful, or you are bothered you will not marry, still under the same category. Some people are worried about their future. You know, where am I going? Where is Nigeria going? You know, should I go to Canada or not? Very simple. I'll tell you this quickly. The main reason that you are anxious and stressed is because you are claiming responsibility for your life. The main reason you are anxious and stressed is that you are claiming responsibility for your life. And you need to stop that right now. Somebody get what I'm saying? You need to stop that right now. You are claiming responsibility for your life. That means you are acting like your life is your responsibility. And the Bible says it's not. Matthew 6, 25. We're going to read all the way to 33, but let's start from 25. Can we read the first sentence there on the screen? Matthew 6, 25. Everybody read. One, two, go. Stop there. Do you see what Jesus Christ said here? He says, I'm saying to you, take no thought for your life. Do you understand? He didn't say for my life. He didn't say for that. He says your own life, eh? Don't even think about it. It's none of your business. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Let me tell you, neighbor, your life is none of your business. I mean, this is one of the most interesting instructions I've ever seen in Scripture. Please let me tell somebody else, the other person on the other side, tell him your life is not your business. You know, how do you tell me not to take thought for my life? I mean, what you should have said is, reduce how you are taking thought for your life. You know what Jesus Christ said? He said, don't even think about it. Take no thought for your life. Somebody say, Pastor, it's very hard. I can't do it. No, God will never ask you to do something that you cannot do. It will make him a very unfair and unjust God. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It will be unfair for God to ask you to do something you cannot do. Because people say, but I can't help myself, I must worry. That's not true. Discipline is a part of our faith. In fact, that's why Christians are called disciples. And the discipline of not worrying is one of the disciplines every Christian must learn. I know that most of us know that, being intoxicated is a sin, taking drugs is a sin, womanizing or fornicating is a sin, lying is a sin, killing is a sin, most people don't know that worry is also a sin. Because a sin is every time you disobey God. And one of the clear instructions we have in Scripture is not to worry. You see, your worry is an insult to God. Your worry is a clear vote of no confidence to God. How many of you heard the news that some American soldiers came to rescue their citizen in the north? You know, the average American has confidence in his government. I'm not even talking about God, government. The average American, anywhere they go and you want to arrest them or whatever, one of the things they tell you is that I'm an American citizen. He knows what that means, and he knows that you too know what that means. That if you kidnap me, my country will kidnap you. They will come and look for me. If you're a Nigerian, if they kidnap you, just ask them where they want you to lie down. Where do you want? Here, sir. You just lie down because. Is somebody get what I'm saying? You see, they have so much confidence in that government because of their, you know, what that government stands for. That's how it is when, as a Christian, you begin to worry about your life. You are saying, I have no vote of confidence in the person that has promised to take care of me. That's what you're saying. He said, take no thought for your life. You have been taking responsibility for your life. You need to stop it. He said, don't think about it. Take no thought for your life. I always find it hard to go past this scripture. As in, really? He said, don't think about your life. Really? We spend our whole life thinking about our life. We spend our whole life thinking about our life. You saw the scores. Future is one of the biggest ones. Future, money. We spend our whole lives thinking about our lives. And God is saying, that's the last thing I need you to do. Don't think about your life. He said, take no thought for your life. Let's continue. He said, take no thought for your life. Then he began to give things that people would normally think about. He said, what you will eat, that's money, basically. And what you will drink, that's money, your welfare. He said, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. He said, it's not the life more than food, and it's not body more than clothes. Next verse. He said, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not. Neither do. That means basically they don't have jobs. They don't go to farms. They said these birds don't have jobs. The fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. That means they have no job, they have no savings. The problem about saving and the problem, and of course saving is, it makes sense, investing makes sense, but the reason why God is trying to work on your mind is because saving and investment can become a trap. How do I mean? The power of saving is in more saving. If you save 1 million, if you want to be comfortable, you need to continue to save. If you invest, like somebody wrote, you know, you want to spend the money, let's invest it. So when you invest it, when the money comes out, what will you do? Let's take it. So a lot of people are afraid to even eat the fruit of their labor. You know, I hear all those stories of, and people, they share it as interested that, this billionaire, he has driven the same car he had since 1982. I say, thank you. That this billionaire has lived in the same house since 1982. He drives the same car. Or he travels economy class. Why? Why? You see, when you think like that, and of course, I don't believe you should waste money, but when you think like that, you are valuing money more than life. You are saving money and spending your life. At the end of the day, when you finish spending that life and kill it, somebody is going to come. Eh? Because that's what people don't know. So we invest it. There are many people here like that. We're doing projects in church. You are not giving, but you are saving it. For what? For what? Because your exit from this life, they most likely will not even give you notice. There are people that have died there are people that died in our country massively this last month. Am I correct? Many of them at October 1st, they didn't sign. There was no notice that you're going to die October. So it's really, God is trying to say, it's really about how you live. But a lot of people were doing projects, were doing things. They didn't give one naira. They have the money, but they're saving it. For what? To invest it. Okay. When the returns come, what will happen? Invest it. You will soon go. There's a guy like that in scripture. Because I'm going to talk a bit about money, marriage, because those are the things that cause us anxiety, so I'm going to go into it, but not today. But there's a guy like that in scripture. He said he saved, he had a lot of money. And he said, DJ, if you can find that scripture for me. He says, soul that have money saved up for many days. I will show you the trap. DJ, can you find it for me? Please find it for me. That guy, it's in Luke, I think. The guy said, there's a man that had made much money and saved it. And he said, soul that has laid up money for many years. He said, what am I going to do? He said, I will break down my bands and save more. That's what's, and I'm not against saving an investment. It's very important to save and invest. Look at this. He said, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth what? Plentifully. Next verse. He said, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where I will put what? My fruit. Basically, what he has saved had done so well, he wanted to save more. That's what, it's just life. He says, go ahead. He says, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my present bands, now my bands is your saving place, and build what? Inner bands. He said, and there will I bestow what? I will save and I will save more. That's the trap of saving an investment. Look, like I said, saving an investment is common sense, it's good. But I'm just saying God is interested in your heart. If your heart is inside that money, then the only way your heart will be happy is when you save more. It's a trap. And saving more, save more, save more, save more, save more. You will now reach an age. You can't eat yam. You can't eat rice. You can't eat this. And you make the usual mistake that most people want to make. That, I'll leave it for my children so that they will... God is saying there's more to life than meat. There's more to life than what you eat, what you save, what you... Let's finish this story. He said, this will I do. I will build out my barns and I will build greater and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. Next verse. He says, and I will say to my soul, this guy was a mad person. And this is what all of us... Because, see, for most people that money is giving anxiety, in your mind, you're thinking, if I have enough of money, I'll not have anxiety. And that is not true. The more money you have, the more money you want to have. Somebody get what I'm saying? It's a bottomless pit, and that's what Jesus was trying to save us from. He said, don't even start, because it's a bottomless pit. Some of you here, except that don't even have 900 naira in your account, you have more peace than some people that have 900 million in their account. Because they are worried about their 900 million becoming 899 million. Yes. That's what goes on. Check your life. Some of you were happier when you had 0 naira than even now. Now you have a job and you are being paid, but you have more anxieties now. He said, and I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink. And this is what most people's ultimate aim. They just want to reach a point where they have nothing to worry about in this life. That's what they're trying to get. And they think money will get them there. And that's money's greatest seduction. It promising you that if you have enough of me, you'll be fine. And that's a big lie. See the next verse. But God said unto him, thou fool. Most times people don't like when we call people fools, but it's God is the champion in calling. Go and read scripture. There are so many places where God said somebody's a fool. Say, a fool says in his heart there is no God. There are so many places where God called people fool. He said, thou fool. This night, that's what I'm telling you, there's no notice. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these investments and savings be, which thou hast what? I see many people do that. Try to save and accumulate and invest, which is not a bad thing, but you must make sure you are doing it in the right order. You must make sure you are putting the right thing where it should be. Go back to taking thought for your life. Let's read that quickly. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall drink, what you shall eat. It says, life is more than what you eat and what you drink. Next verse. It says, behold the fowls of the air. He said, they don't walk. And they have no savings. That's what bands and sowing and reaping means. He said, yet your heavenly Father does what? Feeded them. Are you not much better than what? My brother, have you seen white people worry about their animals before? It will annoy you if you're an African. I'm telling you. If you see white people, when their dog dies, or when their dog is sick. it pains them. I don't want to go into that one. It's a long story. But the point is that if you see how they can care for animals, then it should help you see how they can care better for a human being. So that's what the point is trying to say. God is trying to say here that even these birds, I take care of them. He said, are you not better than them? Next verse. He says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? So they are saying even your so-called anxiety and worry is not adding anything to you. No effect. So whether you don't worry or you worry, the thing will still happen at the time is going to happen. So you are wasting your time by worrying about it. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit, 1 inch to your stature? Next verse. He said, and why take you thought for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They too, they toil not, neither do they spin. Now, please see the emphasis on toil, sow, reap, on work. They're saying, look, there's a struggle you should not be involved with. Next verse. He said, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of this. Next verse. It says, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of what? By the way, whoever sent me this native, I like it. Thank you. Whoever you are, I don't know who you are. So please, record this thing so that I can put it on my Instagram. I don't know who gave me the native. Praise God. I didn't have what to wear. So my wife now went to the room somewhere and found a bag of natives from this same person. He made like 5 or 6 of them. I don't know who the person is. I can't remember when the person gave me. So whoever you are, if you give me this native, I like it. Let me post well. I like it. So thank you. His name is Sonny something. I can't remember. Sammy Tiami. Okay, in the second service, I read the scripture. I will remember your name. But the point is this. Because I remember this clothing. That's why I remembered it. Because it's the same thing. God will clothe you. You see, he will clothe you. That's what he said there. He said, and he shall, won't how much more will he clothe you, O ye of what? Little faith. Next verse. He said, therefore do what? Take note of saying, what shall we eat? That's your future you're worried about and your money. What shall we drink? Or wherewith thou shall we be clothed? Next verse, verse 32. For after all these things do people that don't know God seek. He said, for your heavenly Father knows that you have what? What he's saying is that there's somebody in charge of your life. There's somebody in charge of your life.
said, don't take no thoughts for it. There's more to your life. And that's what we're going to look at all through this month. 1 Peter 5:7 says, is it 5:7 now? Casting all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Yes. Casting how many of your care? Casting all of your care upon the Lord. Why? Why are you casting your cares upon him? Why? He cares for you. What he cares for you means is that he's responsible for you, okay? Doesn't mean he likes you. That's not what it means. They're saying here that he's responsible for you. And he has never failed. He's responsible for you. You might not know how your future is going to play out, but there's somebody in charge of that future. He just needs you to relax and trust him and look unto him. You see, the reason why sometimes his supplies doesn't get to us is because he can't supply when you are also struggling with him to supply. He can't do it. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Take note of that toiling, sewing, bands, all those things. He's talking about your hustle. Now, of course, it doesn't mean you won't get a job on all those things. What he's saying is that even when you have a job, you are not looking at the job as your source. You are doing your best. Of course, you're trying to be excellent at it. But you see, you are allowing that unforced rhythm of grace. You are allowing that unforced and, you know, no hustle life to flow, because that is where God works. It's like in tag team wrestling, the two of you can't be in the ring at the same time. Once you tag God, you step out of the ring, let him enter the ring. If you enter the ring, he has to step out. But he's waiting for you to tag him to come in. I'll read one last scripture. Today is just laying the foundation, so it's fine. I will round up here. I'll read one last scripture. Psalm 126. Come on, tell your neighbor, take no thoughts for your future. Sorry, I think it's 127 I want to read. Psalm 127. Can we read this one, verse 1 together? 1, 2, go. Lord, build the house. Say, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city. Did you see that? This is what they're trying to say here. They're saying, look, they are not saying you won't need to work, but they're saying, except it's the Lord doing this thing, your labor will be in vain. He said, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman is awake in vain. See the next verse. It says, it is vain for you to do what? Rise up early. To do what? Sit up late. In the name of hustle. He said, to eat the bread of what? Sorrow, suffering. For so he giveth his beloved what? Now, this was not the right translation of this thing. This is not what they're trying to say. He doesn't mean here that he gives you sleep, as in dozing, as in, that's not what they're saying. What they're saying here actually is that God gives you when you sleep. What they're saying is that the more you can sleep, the more God can do. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. They're saying, and of course, this doesn't mean you don't go to work. They're saying, the more you can relax and trust God's process and timing, the more he can work. So other translations, I don't know if you can find a translation that says, yes, give me a translation that says God actually gives you when you sleep. There's a translation that says like that. So what they're saying is not, God is not giving you sleep. God, I mean, most of us don't need God to give us sleep. We sleep. Part of the ways you know is not just sleep. It's talking about if you compare that line to the concept of what they are saying. If you compare this last line to the whole of verse 1 and 2, you know that it's not sleep we lacked. We were hustling. We were sorrowing. We were hustling by ourselves. And he's saying, look,
The thing you are hustling for, I will give it to you even while you are resting. You don't have to wake up early and go to bed late. I will give you that thing even while you are relaxed. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So the real translation there is, I will give you while you sleep. All right? There's a translation that says that, guys. See if you can find it. So what God is saying is that go and rest. I'm in charge. Okay, yes, this says it well. He said, it's really senseless to work so hard from early. So it's about work and hustling. That's what they're talking about. It's senseless to work so hard from early morning till late at night, toiling to make a living for fear of not having enough. That's what I'm saying all morning. He said, God can provide for his lovers even what? While they sleep. So this is perfect. So the more you relax and trust him, the easier it flows. But somebody said, but why are many people not getting it? Because many people are anxious. The rule is that if you are waking up early and hustling for yourself, then that's what you provide for yourself. You provide for yourself. And this applies no matter what you're worried about. No matter what you're worried about here, this same rule applies. Now, when we're saying God gives you while you sleep, it doesn't mean you won't do anything. What happens is this. When it's time, God himself orchestrates things and you will see your action plan. So it's not that I'm just sleeping every day. Oh, that's not what we're talking about at all. We're saying, look, when it's time, God is the one that will tell you, do this course. Talk to this person. So you will still take actions, just that it is guided actions. It is not going to be stressful. And remember, with God, it's a continuous flow. That's why some people, they can hustle their way in their career, but they can't hustle their way in their marriage. You see, for God, the principle you are using is important. So if you are using hustle, yes, there are some things you can hustle out. You can hustle marriage, you can hustle job. Can you hustle marriage? No. You still need divine wisdom. Can you hustle your health out? Some people, the cause of their anxiety is their health. You can't hustle that one. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Take no thought for your life. You have somebody taking care of you. Say he cares, he's in charge of you. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the anchor of our soul. They say he spreads the clouds like a curtain. Do you understand? He's the creator of the earth. The cattle upon 1,000 hills are his. He's the one that told the oceans to stay where they are, and they've stayed there since that time. Do you understand? This whole earth, he holds it in the hollow of his hands. He has also tattooed your name in his hands. He can never forget you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's your defender. He's the glory and the lifter up of your head. He needs you to trust him. Don't trust money. Don't trust your uncle. Don't trust your parents. Trust God. Hallelujah. Don't trust your president. Trust God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, I will take no thought. Say it, I will take no thought for my life. I mean, from now, you see, my life is not even my own. You see, the reason why a lot of us still worry is that you think your life is even your own. That's the problem. You are worrying about another person's property. Your life, is not your... Okay, if it's your own, where did you buy it? Where did you buy your life, sir? What's your name? Chisom. Where did you buy Chisom? You met Chisom here. It's not your own. You see, the false thinking that's what happened to that guy in that look. He said, I will. Jesus, what did God tell him? He said, tonight, that your soul will be required. It was never
yours. You are not even yours. You are worrying about somebody else's property. You're worrying about, I'm not my own. I just met myself here. Abi, was any of you that were, you knew when you came? You met yourself here. That's what they told that guy. Say, God said to him, thou fool. All the things you are keeping is not yours. If your soul is not yours, then how do you think your things are yours? They are not yours. Everything is on hire. Even you are not yours, then you think your money you are saving. That's why it doesn't make sense. If your soul is not even your own, then you are saving money. I'm not saying you should not save, of course. Like I said, saving and investment is important as human beings. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying you can't put your heart. That's why you must live. You must understand you are a steward. That's why if you're a Christian and you don't tithe. That means somewhere you think you're taking this money somewhere. That means something is deceiving you somewhere. No. You are a steward. All of it, including you, are not even your own. If I give Pastor Jethro, come. If I give him this thing and say, give me back, is he peppering your body? It was never your own. The reason why when you give to God, he's paining you is that something was telling you. That you gave God your money. No, you did not. You gave God his money. Give God his money. It was never your money. The day you die, you will realize it. Go and ask anybody that has died. That's what they asked that guy. That what will become of these things? He can't answer. He doesn't know. He has no clue. If you know how much banks make from people that die and leave the money in the bank, they just forget it because nobody knew they had the money. They didn't have any close relative. Or the relative that didn't send, didn't care. Ask banker, ask any banker. Last month was 10K, 15K, 30K, 100K, 50K, 100K. People leave it in thousands every year. You are, something is telling you. That's why we when we are giving, it's a rare privilege. When it's time to tithe, it's a rare privilege to participate because the money is not even your own. You can't take it anywhere. Even if you want to keep it, you can't take it anywhere still. It's all going to still remain here. You can't take it anywhere. No, you can give your car dealer. You can give the person selling suya. He too can't take it anywhere. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. That money is stuck here. You can transfer it to somebody else. He too will transfer, but they can't. None of them. They will still drop it here. So rather than giving the suya man, the tailor, the makeup artist, giving those people the money, I'd rather give it to God any day, anytime. Because of what he has given me. Because he's the owner of my, he owns me. You have been worrying about somebody else's property. You are not even your own. Say, my children. What? What? They are not your children. Even you are not your own. They are his children. He will care for them. Because some mothers, that's their concern, my children. I'm just praying for the reason I want to go and live in Canada is because of my children. Don't let go kill you. None of you, they're not your children. They're not your children. Because in your mind, their destiny is in Canada. Meanwhile, God might know that their destiny is here. We'll talk about this. I'm not saying you must not travel. I'm just saying, look, life is more than how it seems to you. Hallelujah. Did you understand it tonight? Can you give God a praise this morning? Thank you, Jesus. If you are here and you have not given towards the project, go one round that thing up this year. There's still some little bills attached to it that needs to be paid. If you have not given towards it,
we know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.